Hello, everybody. This is Gary Benoit bringing you another episode of Beyond the Cover. And today we're privileged to have with us Professor Steve Bias, who wrote the history article for us in the September 6th issue of The New American entitled, Who is a Natural Born Citizen? The Question of Birthright Citizenship. Steve, we're glad to have you with us.
Well, I'm very pleased to be on the show with you today, Gary.
Well, I'd like to start off with this question. I know a lot of people believe that if somebody is born in the United States of America, that automatically makes that person a U.S. citizen. Is that true?
Well, historically and constitutionally, that does not seem to be the case. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution, there were people who lived in the United States who were not considered citizens of the United States. So one group that I would point out to you is that American Indians were not considered citizens of the United States unless they became citizens through, you know, the normal naturalization process or something like that. So that's one large group that were not considered American citizens.
Well, how about the so-called anchor babies? And what I'm referring to specifically is, let's say somebody comes across the border, across the Rio Grande, and they're not citizens, but they come to this country and a baby is born, and that baby is considered an anchor baby, where not only is he a citizen of the United States, but so would others who would follow him. Where does that come from, and why is that not the case?
Well, the 14th Amendment was adopted following the Civil War, and if you look at all the amendments to the Constitution, they were adopted, you know, after the Bill of Rights. Then we go into the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, and so forth. And they're all adopted to address some perceived defect in the Constitution that didn't address some problem that needed to be addressed. And so in the case of the 14th Amendment, you had a situation after the Civil War. The Dred Scott decision had said that slaves could not be citizens of the United States. And so with the passage of the 13th Amendment, which ended slavery in the United States, that kind of left the status of millions of people in limbo. So they adopted the 14th Amendment specifically to address that situation. That's who it was intended to address. And so how do you make 5 million people or so citizens at once? And so what they decided to do is say that anyone born in the United States under the subject to the jurisdiction thereof would be a citizen. And so, obviously, these 5 million people were now subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They weren't subject to the jurisdiction of any other country on earth, which is not the case with anchor babies because they are subject to the jurisdiction of the country they came from.
Okay, so that being the case, Steve, I think what you're saying is that citizenship is not a function of where one is born.
No. And historically, if you go through world history, very rarely has that been the case. If you know, people that can read their Bible, there's a case with the Apostle Paul. He says he was a citizen of the Roman Empire because his father was a citizen of the Roman Empire. Well, not just everybody who lived in the Roman Empire was a citizen of the Roman Empire. You just because you were born on the soil of the Roman Empire. So that was kind of the way it has been throughout history.
How about parents who are Americans, and let's say they go on vacation, or let's say maybe the dad or the mom is in the military, and as a consequence of the baby, let's say the woman's pregnant and the baby is born on foreign soil. Would that baby be an American citizen?
I think that that's pretty clear that they would be because, as I said, historically speaking, your citizenship is by who your parents are. It's not by where you're born. You can be born on the moon and still be a citizen of the United States.
Right, and actually... Right. And regarding American citizens, if they have a baby who's born on foreign soil. I think that's uncontested. I don't think anyone would argue that that baby would not be an American citizen. And yet when it comes to foreigners coming to this country who are not citizens, for some reason, the logic is turned on its head.
Well, that's because they read the 14th Amendment, and I have it right here. It says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States, of the state wherein they reside. It seems like people who argue that you're a citizen simply by being born on American soil, they just pass over that subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Right.
The reason that you're a citizen is because at the time of your birth, your parents were subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. You're just here as a tourist or on a student visa. You're not a permanent legal resident of the United States. Therefore, you're subject to the jurisdiction of the country you came from.
Now,
that's
the people,
why I brought up American Indians. None of them were considered U.S. citizens.
Right.
Unless they had placed themselves under the jurisdiction of the United States.
Now, the people who overlook that phraseology, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, of course, it would depend on the person, but do you think that generally speaking, they don't understand plain English, that they don't understand the words in the 14th Amendment, or do you think maybe there is an agenda that they're pursuing? And if so, what is that agenda?
Well, I think the average person who has come to that mistake believe it's because they're just repeating what they've heard. Now, mm-hmm. I do think there are people who do have an agenda, and it's sort of like one of those things that you could say this for a lot of things, is that people believe what they've heard. Somebody they think is a figure of authority has said this, and they just accept it. But I think that if you look at people who are pushing this idea, they have an agenda, and they want a continued dependent class, you know, for political purposes.
Right. It certainly helps the Democratic Party, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Right. Okay. I would like to ask you, too, about the eligibility to be president, because in the Constitution, the language is very explicit. It says that in order to be president of the United States, you have to be a natural-born citizen. Now, based on that standard, let's take Barack Obama. Was he eligible to be president, even though he served for 8 years?
Well, that comes down to how you define natural-born citizen, and the framers of the Constitution did not define natural-born citizen. His mother was clearly an American citizen. She was born in Kansas, and she was a citizen all her life. And now Barack Obama's father was here on a student visa.
Right.
Obama's. So if you believe that both parents have to be U.S. citizens, or in some cases, some people say only the father has to be, then he would not have been eligible. If he was a citizen at the time of his birth because of his mother, then he would have been eligible, regardless of where he was born. You know,
right.
The whole thing about Kenya and all that kind of stuff. He could have been born on the moon, and I think that's irrelevant.
Right.
It all comes down to his father.
I do know that there was quite a bit of debate regarding whether Obama was qualified, but unfortunately that debate was based on the question of whether the birth certificate was forged, whether Obama was actually born in Hawaii or born in Kenya. But what you're saying is that's completely irrelevant, had to do with his parents. And specifically,
yes,
in his case, whether whether somebody could be a president of the United States if his father was not a citizen at the time of his birth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And
well, let's consider another person regarding her eligibility to be president. Of course, I'm referring to the current vice president, Kamala Harris. Is she eligible to be in her current office? And should Joe Biden end up resigning, which looks like a possibility, or being removed from office, would Kamala Harris be eligible to serve as president?
Well, you know, in the case of Harris, I think that it's even I think if you think Harris would be constitutionally eligible, then the whole restriction about natural born citizen becomes meaningless, because when she was born, she was born on the soil of the United States, but neither of her parents were, not only were they not American citizens at the time of her birth, they weren't even permanent legal residents of the United States. They were here on student visas. I believe her mother was from India. Her father was from Jamaica. He was a Jamaican citizen. In fact, the Jamaican Constitution says you can't have dual citizenship and all that sort of thing. So both were she was subject to the jurisdiction of India, that where her citizenship was. He was a citizen of Jamaica. So neither one was a permanent legal resident, much less a citizen of the United States. So if you're going to say that Kamala Harris is eligible, she's natural born, then we may as well say it's a meaningless part of the Constitution. Because what the founders wanted to do with that whole deal about natural born citizens is make sure there was undivided loyalty to the United States. They didn't want anybody being a dual citizen. They didn't want anybody having mixed loyalties. In fact, one of the things that's overlooked in the whole eligibility standards for the president is that 14 years of residency in the United States. They didn't want somebody who may be a natural born citizen and they may be 35 years of age, but they didn't want them, say, being born in the United States, American parents, and then them moving when child was 2 years old, and 50 years later, person run for president of the United States. You're not eligible unless you have lived in the United States for 14 years. And that's because of the whole purpose is undivided loyalty to the United States.
One final question, Steve, regarding Kamala Harris. From what you said, it's I would say uncontested. She is not eligible to be president or vice president for that matter.
No.
Is anybody contesting that? If you can look at the Constitution and come to that conclusion, are other people doing so?
Yes, there is a live case. It's been filed in California by the Constitutional Association. And she didn't even contest it. Kamala Harris didn't. I don't know. Maybe she just started laughing. You know, that's how she usually answers every tough question. This is probably whoever wins this case. It's been filed in federal court, almost certainly, because of the seriousness of it, it'll be appealed. I think it'll eventually wind up in the United States court. And now, what will the Supreme Court rule? If they rule according to the law, the Constitution, they'll rule against it. But who knows? You know, the Supreme Court, as you know, Gary, is not always ruled according to what the Constitution clearly says.
Oh, I know that. Anyway, thank you so much, Steve. We really appreciate your joining this program.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.